Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 13th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And today will be a slightly abbreviated version of the show because, quite frankly, yours truly has to do some errands. I don't get to go into town very often because of, being tied down doing the news and things like that. However, today needs to be one of those exceptions. Still, having looked at the news, there are a few things we've just plain got to get out there. So we'll start with one or two items that you probably would have figured, vitally important though, as they certainly are, and then work up to the really interesting story that probably deserves more time than I'm going to be able to give it. But at least you'll know about it and can take a look for yourselves. Well, let's start with the obvious and work our way up. The U.S. consumer prices, hey, would you believe they're soaring, have hit yet another 40-year high, while Americans' real wages fell for the 15th straight month. Let's go, Brandon. And we all know that the real inflation level is a lot higher than the lies from the Bureau of Lying Statistics. Anyway, the Zero Hedge piece puts it this way. With the White House having desperately tried, and evidently failed, to front-run this morning's inflation print, analysts were expecting a jump higher, led, of course, by food and energy costs. They were in the right direction, but still, what came out was way worse, and even though it was an understatement, the headline CPI figure soared by 9.1% year over year versus only an 8.6%. Report prior. This 1.3% month-over-month rise is the hottest since 2005. The 9.1% year-over-year rise is the hottest since 1981, and arguably the highest in American history if it were reported honestly. Meanwhile, another story says that bonds and stocks have been slammed as that hottest CPI in over 40 years sparks a surge in the odds that the Federal Reserve will have to do what? Oh, yeah. Keep taking away the punch bowl. Peak inflation is here, markets are stunned, and rate hike expectations are soaring, with the odds of 100 basis point or 1% hike in July now at 30% and higher going forward. All of which sent stocks violently lower, the euro briefly traded below parity, and bond yields are aggressively higher. Hey, they're still negative interest rate territory, though. And the shock is so bad that even paper, gold, and silver in the Crimex manipulated markets is actually up today. In other news that might steal the spotlight from the inflation out of control tsunami, but won't because the mainstream media is not going to talk about it, the Russian Ministry of Defense, though, says Hal Turner's radio show, issued a very late night press statement saying, quote, "We are on the verge of an immediate armed conflict with the United States." This after Ukraine used U.S.-supplied HIMARS weapons to attack, this time a Russian base. As of 7:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, at least seven Russian troops were killed by American weapons. 40 injured, and those numbers are rapidly rising and changing fast. The Russian ministry statement said this, "The U.S. and its allies are teetering on the brink of open military conflict with Moscow, which would be fraught with nuclear tensions." Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova added this, "After provoking an escalation of the Ukrainian crisis and unleashing a violent hybrid confrontation with Russia, Washington and its allies are dangerously teetering on the brink of an open military confrontation with our country, which means a direct armed conflict between nuclear powers. Clearly, such a confrontation would be fraught with nuclear escalation," unquote. From there, on to the news that the new House Committee of Un-American Activities, yeah, that's what it really is because they're about as un-American as it gets. Anyway, the January 6th bunch of scumbags are liars. And as TGP's coverage puts it this morning, picked up by the alternative media, and I can guarantee you, probably not so much by CNN and MSNBC, and I suspect strongly that if the January 6th committee even talks about it, it'll be to try to debunk it with the help of their media cohorts and cover-up crew. It says, they all lied, and now we have the proof, although we knew it before. Highly sensitive DOJ documents from January 6th have been leaked, and this story comes courtesy of Kara Castro-Nuova to the Gateway Pundit. FBI confidential human source, it says, infiltrated the Proud Boys, ran an FBI operation on January 6th, and actually reported truthfully. You ready? They were innocent. And now they have the texts and documents in full. Will this be the end of Chris Wray, she writes? Well, it ought to be, but hey, not the first time on that score. The FBI and the Department of Injustice continue to viciously persecute the political prisoners, American citizens, and terrorize the public, and now they've been caught. Shame, she says, on the McCarthy-like January 6th Unselect Committee for abusing their, well, illegitimate power anyway, using groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers as fall guys so that they can punish political opposition and consolidate the Bolshevik takeover. This is not the United States that we once thought we were growing up in, and now the lies are being exposed. A whistleblower has leaked a treasure trove of documents and text messages, some mark highly sensitive, to the Gateway Pundit, and they contain incredibly exculpatory evidence proving that the Department of Just Us was in fact aware that a group of indicted Proud Boys were really innocent, and are prosecuting them anyway. This is Stalinist to the core, folks. The entire dump of documents is included in the links, and again, this is courtesy of thegatewaypundit.com. They have link after link on their site. They include hundreds of pages of transcripts, audio recorded interviews with the assisting U.S. attorney, FBI agents, and their confidential human source, as it's called, CHS, which claim to have infiltrated the Kansas City Proud Boy group for over a year and a half, before the January 6th event, and then kept the FBI goons informed about all that was going on, or more appropriately, wasn't. One source familiar with the FBI informant has identified him as James Aaron Knowles. And according to the source, and we've heard the name before, Knowles had gained the total trust of the group and was thus included in all communications. The informant told his handlers at the FBI that the KC Proud Boys group was infiltrating and accompanied them to the Capitol on January 6th. But, quote, they were not involved in, nor did they inspire the breaking of the barriers at the Capitol building. CHS described the scene as the crowd doing it in terms of a herd mentality, and added that it was not organized. The crowd was shouting, "Stop the vote," as they made their way to the Capitol building, and there were no, let me underline that, no, and by the way, I'm not reading a teleprompter, so I'm not going to say, read the sentence again, or stand up here and wave to the press. There were no overt threats of violence made at that time. Not only that, but the informant also testifies to the FBI that the Proud Boys planned to come to Washington, D.C. to risk their own safety in order to protect average Trump supporters from Antifa attacks so that the MAGA folk could enjoy the day and, quote, get back to their hotels safely. So there's irony in here as well as truth. Okay, from there on we go to some other stories that either we've heard before or they really sound familiar because we keep getting the repetition one way or another. First, out of what once called itself the Church of England, whatever that means today, they no longer, however, can tell a man from a woman, it seems, despite being, as the Sputnik report put it, the only major religion on the planet whose supreme governor, Queen Elizabeth II, is a woman. Asked by a lay member of the armed forces, what is the Church of England's definition of a woman? The church's bishop in Europe, the Right Reverend Robert Innes, replied thusly, quote, there is no official definition, which reflects the fact that until fairly recently, definitions of this kind were thought to be, and this is at least correct, self-evident, as reflected in the marriage liturgy, replied the Right Rev, who should have quit while he was ahead, adding that your church, though, has, quote, begun to explore the complexities associated with gender identity, unquote. And some of us would suggest maybe the church should try exploring scripture. And let's follow that up with this, courtesy of the Substack from Igor Chudov, who says that a couple of weeks ago he wrote an article based on the shocking news that the birth rate in Taiwan, May of this year, 2022, fell by 23.34% compared to May a year ago, which is a continuation of a recent series that he's been writing about a massive 13% decline of births in Germany, and such a decline in Germany is a 9-sigma event, meaning it's so unlikely to occur by chance that it would naturally happen about as rarely as a major asteroid striking Earth. But when it comes to statistics, the change in Taiwan is an unthinkable 26-sigma event of enormous magnitude. He was hoping this was some kind of a data fluke or error, but it's not, because the June data has just been released, and as Igor puts it, he's very upset, because Taiwan's birth rate June 2022 is now down by 27.2%, far worse than even the previous month's jaw-dropping decline. And basically, guess what? It shows a trend. And writes Vox Day, observing that trend, it's no accident so many pregnant women are miscarrying. The number of stillbirths have increased. The number of infants dying soon after birth is also on the rise. And while the connection of declining human fertility to the poison poke, Zyklon B injection, as your host calls it, is still, as Vox Day puts it, correlative rather than definitely causal, the correlation is now strong enough that it had probably better be reasonably assumed to be causal, at least until we begin to see any evidence to the contrary. There's a message here, folks. While we're talking about interesting correlations, here's another one, this time via strangesounds.org, which says, are we supposed to think it's just another coincidence that the World Economic Forum, and you know the names of some of the servants of Satan running that thing, Cyber Polygon 2022 meeting took place on July 8th, 2022, over this last weekend. And simultaneously, it just so happened that Canada was experiencing its worst internet outage in decades, causing major phone services to crash, 9/11 credit card and debit machines to be down for quite a few hours. And coincidentally, that major crash occurred on the very same day that the fourth edition of Klaus Schwab's Cyber Polygon was in progress, while participating companies actually underwent a targeted attack on their hybrid cloud infrastructure. What are the odds? And coincidentally, this year's primary theme of that conference was digital resilience in the age of the cloud. And continues the piece, don't forget, back in March of this year, the World Economic Forum removed Cyber Polygon from its webpage, perhaps preparing people for the upcoming cyber war. And that, too, is obviously just another coincidence. He follows up with a number of quotes from people that were at the conference. I think this one is kind of representative. Alexander Klimberg, head of the Center for Cybersecurity at WEF, notes that the Cyber Polygon cybersecurity training event helps, and maybe I guess outages do too, raise awareness of cyber attacks across organizations, across borders, and across the public and private sectors. And ironically, as it turns out, the event was organized by two Russian companies, UNT ZWEF. Huh. From there on to economics, and I'll introduce this with a couple of, things that you might not have heard of too much from the Waystream media, particularly the financial press. The BRICS nations, you know, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but they're adding more literally by the week, has announced the new world reserve currency. Actually, this has been announced and been worked on for quite some time now. As says Greg Reese for Band.video, America continues to commit economic suicide. So far, the globalist agenda seems to be right on schedule, he says, referring to the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum in this case, and their plans to lead the world into a different form of globalism. Or is it the same form, just ostensibly anyway, reporting to different criminal mob bosses? But sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? After all, they do seem to all be using the same techniques, like the plandemic and Zyklon B injection, not to mention a global famine and energy collapse, to get there.
China has recently invited Indonesia, Malaysia, Iran, Egypt, and several other countries to join BRICS, a growing world alliance led by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. While some are reporting that BRICS is somehow challenging the globalists, this is demonstrably false. The original concept for BRICS was proposed by the chief economist for Goldman Sachs. BRICS's new development bank is staffed by known players of the IMF and World Bank. And BRICS has repeatedly affirmed their commitment to the United Nations Agenda 2030.
Greg Reese goes on to give a number of other examples and then hits the main point, which is that BRICS may in fact be globalist to the core, but they're certainly in opposition to any American dominance of the new world global order.
BRICS is clearly not anti-globalist. Even the CCP's state-run media explains how BRICS now leads the globalization mission. But they are all turning against the United States and its allies. Xi Jinping accused the U.S. of weaponizing the financial system, with their sanctions against Russia, which has caused the average person to suffer worldwide. And Vladimir Putin suggested that BRICS could provide a new world reserve currency. At the recent St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, Putin blamed the West for disrupting the international economy and announced that NATO's unipolar world order is over.
And no doubt about it, we've talked about this aspect on this show for a long time at this point, the intent is to destroy the United States from within and from without, because obviously the puppet is having his strings pulled by somebody. And while it may be satanic, it sure as hell isn't even remotely American. And as virtually all the news stories have been making clear for quite a while now, that's not even remotely hidden anymore. Still, though, it turns out that the road to global tyranny is a rocky one, as other stories, even from China, are pointing out. First from Hal Turner's radio show, who writes about massive bank runs over there, now turning violent, saying China's on the verge of financial collapse. Chinese banks stopped depositors from withdrawing money back in April, and they've not enabled withdrawals since. And meanwhile, there are pictures online of crowds of thousands storming banks now, demanding money and using violence. The rumored reason the Chinese banks cannot allow withdrawals is that the CCP, or the Communist Chinese Party, seems to have stolen the bank bailout funds and simply can't make the banks solvent. And he includes a video of one bank run, and it's kind of massive, taking place at the Jingzhou branch of China's central bank. And the stories on the downward spiral continue as we enter the first part of this week. And of course, don't think it can't happen here, folks. After all, somebody, probably several somebodies, is pulling the Biden-Führer's puppet strings. And whether the FBI and the Waystream Press want you to know the truth or not, Hunter and his hookers are telling at least part of that story. From there, we'll go straight to a piece from King World News on the same subject. They begin by quoting Kyle Bass, who notes that, yep, bank runs are happening all over China, and it's important to note that the Chinese banking system represents 350% of Chinese on-balance sheet, anyway, GDP, while in the U.S., and what was once this system, it's only 100%. So one of the largest leading categories of Chinese banks is real estate, and Chinese property developers, as you may have heard, are filing bankruptcies at a record pace. Perhaps you recall the name Evergrande. Officially, it kind of defaulted at the end of last year, but at the end of May this year, Forbes asked, is Evergrande actually China's version of the Lehman Brothers moment? Moody's has downgraded 91 Chinese property developers this year alone, after only 54 of them over the entire past decade before this year. So given what passes for transparency and honest financial reporting in China, and now the communist Chinese version of America with a K, I have to ask it this way. If the dominoes all started to fall over, but the Waystream Press decided to keep lying about it, would there be sound, much less video? This next item could fit into several categories. You might call it a World War III update, or maybe a United States self-destruction update on the military front. They're pretty much the same thing anymore. Comes from J.D. Hayes in Natural News, and it says Russia has already begun to destroy the advanced U.S. weaponry that's not being saved for use here at home. No, that would be too obvious. Instead, it's being sent to Ukraine, where, as promised, Russia is pretty much destroying it as it arrives. The U.S. continues to drain its stockpile of weapons, he begins, many of them advanced long-range missile and artillery systems by supplying them to Ukraine, where almost as fast as many of them arrive, they're being destroyed by Russian forces. Last week, Russia's defense ministry claimed that its forces had managed to locate and destroy two high-mobility artillery rocket systems, or HIMARS, that were only recently supplied to Ukraine, the loss of which can't be sustained and, by the way, does deprive the United States of the ability to use them were they ever necessary, say, for example, in response to a Russian or Chinese, or pick an enemy at the southern border, invasion. Do you ever get the feeling, folks, that just maybe there's another traitorous plan at work here? The claim is the systems are being used to expand Ukraine's long-range firing capabilities to match that of Russia, yeah, sure, but in keeping with its earlier pledge, Moscow has announced its forces would target any weapon system supplied by foreign nations, especially the United States, it would seem, and ultimately hold them responsible. And while there's been no independent confirmation that Russian troops took out the two systems, to be honest, writes J.D. Hayes, it's not like the Ukrainians are going to confirm that the systems were destroyed, especially if it was true. Because Kiev, among other things, doesn't want to lose its weapons gravy train being supplied by U.S. taxpayers. Reuters is also noting that Russian forces have destroyed two ammunition depots storing rockets for that same HIMARS system near the front line in a village south of Kramatorsk in Ukraine's Donetsk region, the main focus for Russian troops following the capture of Luhansk over the weekend. And all of this, if true, points to the fact that what the HIMARS destruction does is move the U.S. and Russia that much closer to direct conflict, since Russian troops appear to be specifically looking for weapons supplied by a foreign nation, largely NATO, and related countries, which would especially include long-range rocket and artillery systems for the obvious reason. One more setup story today before we get to some of the really interesting conspiracy theory stuff, which, of course, as you know, will almost certainly real soon turn out to be conspiracy fact, if it's not already. This comes from Germany, courtesy of Paul Joseph Watson in Summit News, where he says a left-wing German interior minister wants to confiscate guns owned by what else? Members of the so-called right-wing AfD party. Interior Ministry of the German state of Thuringia. Georg Meyer wants to withdraw gun licenses, and you have to have a license, of course, in a state like once fascist Germany to keep and bear arms, from the Alternative for Germany members, a political party that holds 81 seats in the German Bundestag or parliament and 9 seats in the European parliament. Meyer belongs to the Social Democrat Party, and guess how far left they lean, and has tasked his employees with establishing a working group on, does this sound kind of Biden-y stuff familiar? Weapons and extremists. They, too, want to target anybody who knows better. They call them right-wing extremists there, I guess in German. And that list includes AfD members and in total about 30,000 people who would have to deal with, quote, appropriate revocation procedures initiated against them under the new plan, which would have legally owned guns confiscated by the state. Again, confirming what Adolf Hitler knew. The point of a gun registration list is precisely this. Without further ado, let's turn to today's conspiracy theories being revealed as fact department. This one comes from Stefan Stanford at the All News Pipeline, and also a story from the Epoch Times published earlier in July entitled Doomsday Document Predicted Food Shortages 2 years ago. All of which basically documents that the globalists had pre-knowledge and arguably pre-planning of the current food catastrophe because, well, yeah, they wanted it to happen. And some of us, by the way, have been talking about it for at least that long, too, because we knew it was in the plan. Not only are the economics obvious, if you understand just a little bit about biblical or Austrian economics, so was the telegraphed intent. This has to do with a report put out in July of 2020 by the Rockefeller Foundation entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Looks like they're transforming it away, doesn't it? And he provides the link for those that want to go to the Rockefeller Foundation while you still can and verify the authenticity of the document. Can you believe, folks, we've been lied to once again? All of which demonstrates how they plan to wipe out the meat industry in favor of fake foods over 2 years ago. And it seems that their plans hit the nail on the head. And what we're now witnessing across America, and indeed the whole planet, can only demonstrate that this has been a long pre-planned globalist operation. As the Epoch Times story reports, what we've been told about the food shortages we're now witnessing, that they're the result of climate change and Russia having invaded Ukraine. Amazing, isn't it, that the Rockefeller Foundation had already predicted this and was calling to revamp the food system as a whole to address it, long before it actually panned out. And here's another one of those wonderful warnings, oh so prescient. The COVID pandemic, they thought, would surely cause, quote, a hunger and malnutrition crisis in the U.S., unlike any this country has seen in generations. And so they called then for the U.S. food system to be, say it with me, folks, reset. I can't help but hearken back to how Rahm Emanuel of the Obama regime, i.e. Biden 1.0, famously put it, never let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. And given that Reset the Table was published just 1 month after, what else, the WEF officially announced their plans for the global reset, many of the contributors for the foundation's paper are also WEF members. Who could have thought it? Well, says Stanford, it's easy to see what's going on here if one just pays a little bit of attention. And he goes on to recite a whole bunch of other things you've probably heard about how the document promotes the idea. And does this sound familiar? Yeah, we've been hearing this for a while. Insects should be recognized as a healthy, sustainable protein alternative that can save the environment and solve world hunger, especially since you're not going to be allowed to have meat, except maybe for some of Bill Gates' fake bioengineered Frankenplasm. And here he turns to the Epoch Times story, which says it this way. Seems nothing escapes the prophetic minds of these self-proclaimed designers of the future. They have accurately foreseen natural disasters and foretell coincidental acts of God, well, at least the one they worship. And they know everything before it happens. Amazing how that works. Perhaps they truly are prophets, or perhaps they're just describing the inevitable outcomes of their own actions and the things that they're oh so anxious to bring about. So let me conclude today by saying what we've seen literally day after day building to a climax now for month after month. Somebody has been working really, really hard to destroy pretty much the entire Western world, certainly the United States economy, and without question, the rule of law. And as Americans have been dumbed down to the point where they don't even know what's going on anymore, they're falling for it. So the answer? Don't. Come out of her. Try to see what's really happening. Pay attention, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.